It's been a couple of months since we talked about two folks from a surgical team going down to Guatemala. Joe Brinkman and Tina Tertine both went on the Guatemala trip, headed by Dr. Raymer, and they are here with me today to talk about some of that. First, how are you guys doing?
Hello, hello, good morning.
I'm great.
Yeah?
Doing
you look,
good?
You look like you're well-rested. I guess you've been back for a while.
It's been a couple months, but, yeah. You know.
So before we get into what you all did down there, tell me a little bit about what you saw of the economic conditions when you were down in Guatemala.
You know, when we were first here, before we went down, we talked about, you know, like the streets and their houses. It was very similar. A lot of dilapidated roofs, a lot of garbage on the streets. A lot of ruins.
A lot of places that I don't know if even we would think twice about inhabiting were inhabited by, I'm sure, a multi-generational family, you know, like abject poverty.
And you could see just on the bus on the way through the streets to the hospital. Some places have doors. Some don't. Mm-hmm. Some you can see like a dirt floor. Like you can tell there's no tile or laminate or, you know, anything. There's no surface other than dirt. But on the main drag of the road, the main roads, you see a lot of shops for like bumpers and tires and like scooter repair shops. You know, it's not uncommon down there to see
four or five people on a scooter.
Yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, mom or dad driving with one or two little ones in between. Is there a seatbelt or a helmet involved?
No.
Most cases not, you know, but they zigzag and weave in and out of traffic like it's nobody's business while you're sitting in the bus ready to have a heart attack because, you know, traffic is so jam-packed and they're just weaving in and out and going on their day.
I would imagine, and I don't know much about Guatemala, but I would imagine it's probably a pretty interesting, not juxtaposition is not the word I want, dichotomy, I'm not sure, that it's probably a very beautiful country.
Oh, beautiful. The volcanoes, the mountains, I mean, lush forests of banana trees, plantains, beautiful, beautiful. And you'll see people at the riverside doing their laundry, you know, but it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful country.
So it's like on one hand, you know, you'd think that because of the beauty and maybe even, you know, what they could actually bring to that area, they're kind of suffering with poverty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people go there. We met people from, I think it was Turkey. Like they go there to hike. There's a pretty famous volcano. Is it Fuego? Am I saying that right? It actually just...
Well, if it's Fuego, you're saying it right.
It's not Fuego. It just actually erupted.
It just erupted. It's... I mean, you can see it when you're in Antigua, but where its exact location is, I can't remember.
Right. But it's somewhere in there.
Somewhere. Yeah. You know, people go there on, you know, their vacation, and they go there to hike. And you would think that that would bring in, you know, a lot of people.
Tourism
and
money,
that kind of thing.
Right.
But you don't really see that reflected
in... It doesn't funnel down to the
maybe
people.
In Antigua, I think it was a nicer area. You know, where we were didn't have that funneled money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if a lot of people go to Reu for vacationing purposes. So, but lots of medical missions on our plane on the way there. I think there were three different medical missions represented on that plane alone. So it was... It was full. The flight was full.
So let's talk a little bit about your time down there. How large was the group that went with you?
So we had... So each OR team has at least four people. That's your surgeon, your surgical tech, your anesthesia provider, and a recovery room nurse. Now that doesn't... And we had, what, three rooms? Mm-hmm. So that's 12. Plus we had...
Translators.
We had three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
The hospital also did provide their own translators too. So I would say probably a good, 15 to 20 people, I believe, were there for Team Raymer.
Yeah. And the hospital's employees, they're there when mission teams are there. So there are people there to take care of the patients after surgery for a day or two. That's maybe two or three plus. There are some people in the kitchen to cook meals for both the patients and the mission team members, as well as people to help clean the ORs in between cases and to help clean the instruments and re-sterilize them. So,
now, I keep thinking about this, and I imagine that, the way we live here in America is, we have all the creature comforts. But folks down there have been living like this for centuries.
Oh, yeah.
And do they seem to notice that they are living in poverty? Or are they pretty much functional?
They go about their day like...
It's just, that's life. I mean, that is what it is.
But do you see things like smiles?
Oh.
Do you see like happy people?
All of the time, and generous and just full of humility and thankfulness. We had a patient that her and her husband make 1,200 tortillas a day, plus they roast corn. And they sell it outside of their home for people that come by.
But they were good tortillas.
I'm sure they were.
Oh, you didn't try?
No. We were so busy. Oh.
Yeah, I got
14, 17-hour days. But she... that's what she had to do. She had to work, and she worked with a sprained ankle as well as needing this hernia operation. And you go to work, because if you don't make the tortillas or roast the corn, you don't have income coming in that day. So it's just what you do. You grin and bear it, pretty much.
Yeah. I tell you what, I would never want to live in that, but I can certainly appreciate their zest for life, not knowing what people like us have here. It's like, did you feel a little guilty?
A little bit. When you're here in the States and my Wi-Fi is not working today so well,
Spectrum went down. What's
Spectrum
going on?
Went down, and there they are, just...
Don't even know what Wi-Fi is.
The creature comforts. Why? Yeah. So, it's... Definitely a humbling experience to see that and just partake in their joy of just their, and there's, you can, even though I am not the greatest Spanish speaker in the world, but it transcends language, how grateful and thankful they were. God bless you. All of the time, every patient. We had a patient that came into the OR singing, and she had a beautiful singing voice, was
angelic.
It was amazing. She fell asleep singing. She woke up from anesthesia singing. And it's just, they have that certain something in their heart. They're just so thankful to be there. And it was really rewarding. It really was.
Yeah. And she wasn't crazy, right?
She was not. She was actually really quite young.
Huh.
How
about that? So tell me a little bit about some of the procedures, some of the things the work that you did while you were there, Joe.
What did we say? Just under 60 procedures this go around.
Over what period of time?
Four days.
Wow.
Most of our days were right around that 12, 13-hour mark. I think the shortest day was our last day on Thursday. I think that was 10 or 11 hours.
It was, and our longest was 17 hours. And we're not used to that in the States, because staff come in and we change staff after 8 hours or so.
Right.
So we did mostly hernia repairs of various kinds, gallbladder removals, a few that had lumps and bumps like on the back of their neck or on their arm. Pretty basic general surgery cases. But because these patients don't get care like how we get it here, most of them have waited years, 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. So the body tries to compensate and fix itself. So when you get in, you have that much more work to correct.
Scar tissue. Like,
yeah, exactly. So
and I imagine a hernia after a couple of years.
Oh,
looks
the pain.
Pretty,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
they weren't small by any means.
No,
you know,
no.
We had one patient who needed her gallbladder out. She was a single mom. She mm-hmm. would climb trees to collect basket making materials. I don't exactly remember the kind of tree, but
some kind of palm, maybe.
Probably. But she had a teenage. I think it was a son who also climbed trees. And then she had like a 4-ish-year-old as well. But single mom, having gallbladder issues. And, you know, when the patient comes in, we have limited imaging, I'll say. Like we have an ultrasound and an x-ray, which can only give us so much information aside from, you know, our initial assessment that we do on them. But this patient, we got in, you know, it was a pretty ugly gallbladder, which most of them are. And when we're in there and most gallbladders take right around an hour, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but we were in there, God, was it like 5 or 6 hours? At that, it was my room, me and a surgeon are working away. And when everyone's peeking in the door, like, you know,
what's going on in there?
Turns out the patient had a really rare, syndrome, and we actually had a complication while in the OR and had to find a liver specialist.
Hmm.
In Guatemala at like right. 7 o'clock at night
right. mm-hmm.
in the middle of nowhere. But as it turns out, this actually isn't uncommon. And there was a liver specialist
hour and a half, two hours away.
Mm-hmm. So we were able to stabilize them mm-hmm. in the OR and work with the hospital and get them transported to this liver specialist who did or finished the surgery the next day, and this single mom of two did great.
So mm-hmm. you got to find out the results.
Yeah. Everyone was pretty worried.
Oh yeah.
But she did great. But I mean, we had some really bad gallbladders, really bad hernias.
Sound like gallbladder and hernias were kind of some of the major things you
They're
saw.
They're the norm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it about their diet or something that makes the gallbladder so susceptible?
Like here in the U.S., most of our gallbladder issues are related to our diet.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's mostly genetic.
Oh.
So it's not uncommon to see like a 100-pound 18-year-old with a gallbladder full of stones.
Wow.
Versus here, they're usually female, they're usually over 40,
mm-hmm.
And they have gallbladder issues because they had a fatty meal. But there, it's mostly genetic. And with hernias, you know, they do a lot of work in the fields making 1,200 tortillas a day and carrying all the supplies.
Or climbing trees.
Right. So they get pretty nasty. And the equipment and the stuff that we have down there to take your gallbladder out, definitely not to the same standards as you have here, or even availability of certain instruments. Like, you get what you get in that set of instruments, and that's what you have.
Hopefully you get a scalpel and some sutures.
Oh, right.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Wow. So, and again, you were doing like 15 a day if you did 60 over 4 days.
Yep. So, some were quicker than others, but it wasn't uncommon, you know, in your room to have 5 or 6 procedures that day. So, you know, some took longer than others, and others you're done in an hour.
So now this is not the first time you both went, right? Or is it the first time you both went?
This was my second go-around with
your
this.
First?
It was my first with Faith and Practice, but my second one total, right?
So give me your takeaways from the experience.
It's a definite labor of love. I think we worked, at least I'm going to speak for myself, I worked harder that week than I have in a normal week here in the States. And it's more than just standing on your feet for 13, 17 hours.
Mental exhaustion too,
but it is, because it's just, you know, you're thinking about the patient. You hear these wonderful stories. There's a place called Casa de Fe where some of the patients stay prior to their surgery. And so you can meet them. Not only was I blessed to be able to scrub cases, I also took pictures and I was the photographer for the group. And, you know, so I kind of got some background information from the people that came, you know, and stayed a couple of days beforehand. And even afterwards, the recovery, their recovery is in a big ward. And, you know, there's a female ward and a male ward. And there's 10 to 12 people in each ward just recovering. It's hot. It's humid. There's no TV. You don't have a cell phone. What do you do?
What
do you do for days? There's no fans. What do you do? You know, so it's just, it was the mental exhaustion. You want to do the best for your patients. You know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, should I have done this or that? Or how are they doing? You know, so there's a lot of psychological, you know, recovery there too.
Joe, you have the same experience? Or?
Pretty much. You know, we weren't able to, when I went down last year, we were able to go into where the patients and their families stay. But because of COVID and the restrictions down there, we didn't have to have a mask on when we were like touring the hospital, getting things set up. But if we were to go over and meet the patients, then we would have to have a mask, but they didn't want to compromise the patients. So we didn't get to go over and walk around where they were staying. But they still came out. They still wave at you. Mm-hmm. They still clap. This year we were able to, I don't remember the name of the organization, but one of Dr. Raymer's friends from the San Francisco area got hundreds, like 300 pairs of reading glasses donated. And while we were screening and triaging and assessing our patients, the patients and their family members were able to go over and get fitted for reading glasses. And seeing their face light up, because we'd had them read like a page of a book, you know, can you see better with this pair, that pair, or what about this one? And seeing their face light up when they could read, like that, totally life-changing. You know, we had a patient come in. We had had a discussion at the morning, having our breakfast and coffee, and someone gave us this quote, and I'm going to butcher it, and I apologize. I think it's Dios te lo pague, and it roughly translated means that God is going to give back to you. And it was that same day that we have a patient come through and she said it. And you kind of go, oh, like that wouldn't happen here.
Pague means gift.
That's a gift or pay. Yep.
So, you know, there was another patient, every other word that she said, God bless you. Mm-hmm. My name is Maria. God bless you. You know, it's, you don't get that same experience here in the U.S. You know, you come in, even here in Florence, we're going to ask you your name, your birthday, you know, what brings you in? And some patients are going to get mad because they have to wait an hour in the walk-in clinic, you know. So it's just a whole different level of gratitude that, you know, kind of recharges your soul and your heart that you're doing some good down there and that these patients, because they've waited for so long and it's going to have such an impact on their life and their work and their family, that they're just blessed to be there.
Now, you mentioned you took a lot of photos. Do you guys post this anywhere? Is there anywhere for people to be able to look at this and see the experience?
Yep. On Faith and Practice, the website, I think it's faithandpractice.org, you can go on to the Medical Mission blogs. Ours was Raymer754. And I tried posting every day some stories that were impactful, pictures of patients. HIPAA is different down there. There's 5 million Yesicas. So, I mean, there's still covered by a HIPAA type of thing. But you'll see pictures of patients, people trying on the glasses, you know, stories that were impactful. So, yeah, it's all right there on Faith and Practice.
Or even a quick Google, Faith and Practice, Raymer will bring you pretty close to where they're at.
And it's interesting how word gets around. So it was near to the last day that we were there, and we got a patient that came in off the street, a walk-in, which is not uncommon. They were from Mexico. So over 6 hours away, had spent all of her money to drive, to take transportation and somehow get to Reu because she needed a surgery. And she, this is the only time it could happen. She spent all of this money trying to get here. She brought her family with her, which is common because when one works, they all don't work. And was just, please, I heard about your you know, Faith and Practice. And can you please help me? And actually, we were able to help her. So,
Wow. Yeah, okay.
it was interesting and how that word gets around to even other countries. So, you know, spreading the word is a good thing. But yeah.
Well, Joe Brinkman, Tina Tratin, thank you so much for being here today and updating us on this. Some great work, and appreciate all that you did.
Thanks so much, George. We'll see you next year.
Okay.
I have to give one more shout out.
Yes, okay. Please.
Well, actually two. One to Kay King for helping us fundraise some money. And those who actually donated.
Thank you so much.
We were able to cover
definitely reduce our cost of going.
Yeah, it was about half of our trip, which we were more than grateful. I know we kind of started the process late, but Kay pulled some strings out of some gracious people of her back pocket. But just a big thank you to Kay and those in Florence and surrounding areas that did help us with this.
All right. Lesson one, start earlier next year.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
Right. Both of you take care.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, George.
Coming up next on the June edition of Our Town, we're going to talk with Public Works Director Mike Miller.